Brother, I feel like that everyone here this morning enjoyed what you had to say. I believe this brother knows the Lord. And he's certainly on a good mission, the distribution of the Word of God. Gideons do a wonderful work. We support you with our prayers, and we thank God that you came with us this morning. There will be a little change this evening, a surprise if you like surprises. Our brother Gibby White, who has been involved in many ways in the distribution of the Word of God, in tract ministry, and in witnessing personally, to be sharing with us what we have here in the way of literature that you need to use and get out into the highways and the byways. It's wonderful to have a good supply of Christian literature on hand. And we do have a good supply. And thank God it honors the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't want it back in the office. We don't want it in those boxes. We want it in your hands, and we want you to go out as a witness and distribute the Word of God to souls that the Lord will lead you to, souls that need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. So come prepared this evening to get involved. If you're not already involved, by the time our brother Gibby finishes his presentation, I pray that every one of us will be ready to be involved. Carrying tracts in your pocket is a wonderful way to be prepared. And as the Spirit of God exercises your heart, brother, let me tell you, it's a wonderful experience to realize that God has directed you just to one person. You sent. This is a divine encounter. I'm here. God is using me. He's using the Word of God. This one little piece of paper that has that message on it. The Word of God that our brother has just been talking about. And to see that person, read that piece of literature. We heard about the fellow that had been over at Duke all those years. Never had accepted any of the tracts or anything like that. And then after all those years, he could retrace in his own mind what he had heard over the years. And he came to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. We're God's messengers. We're God's ambassadors. But we need to be involved. You don't want to have a title, and you never function in all that that title means, an ambassador, a servant. I'm going to read some scripture, and it will remind us again, I think, of the very seriousness of what we're involved in as individuals. The last words that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples, if you remember, he carried them outside the city, and he was there, and they were looking up into heaven. They were thinking about what was about to happen. And he said, "But you shall receive power after the Spirit of God is come. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world." And beloved, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The minute you were born again, the Spirit of God took up his residence in you. And he's there, powerfully, wanting to be released and to be a witness through you of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. The Apostle Paul is about to depart. Those are the words that he uses. He's fixing to depart. I'm talking about 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you remember last week, Mark made a statement, probably generated some thoughts in my own mind, reminded me of the importance of individuals being witnesses for the Lord. I think one of the tragic things that I have heard in my lifetime, when someone is approached and asked about being a witness for the Lord and speaking for the Lord, even passing out a piece of Christian literature for the Lord, we pray the preacher to do that. Oh, you do? Well, that's a strange thing, because you'll never find that in the Word of God. Every believer indwelt by the Spirit of God, ever believer entrusted with the most powerful message that's ever been presented, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is to be a witness. We're all witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. One way or the other, you are a witness. People take note of what you are as an individual, what you do with your life, what's important in your life, where your values are in life. Well, the great Apostle Paul is fixing to depart from this world, and there's someone that he wants to entrust with a message. It's Timothy, his son in the faith. And these are the words he had to say. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Let's look to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as individual believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee for saving our souls. May the Spirit of God move powerfully over each one of us at this very moment and remind us, I am dwelling in your heart. I'm there to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. I am there to inspire and to lead and to guide you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, your Savior. Lord, speak these words to our hearts this morning. Grant that what Paul has to say to Timothy, may it have that effect of so stirring our own souls that we'll go out from this place and we'll have a different attitude toward those people that we come in contact with every day. Our neighbors, our people out in the workplace, those people that we may begin to think upon as those that you have sent our way, and you've entrusted us with that responsibility to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. In thinking about what Timothy had to say to Timothy, when he says, I charge thee, that's a pretty strong word. He said, I am entrusting to you, because I think he had full confidence in this young man, because he had carried Timothy with him. Timothy had been with him as he witnessed to those that were in the world that really needed the Savior. And as he did that, he thought so many times about what it's going to be like when I take leave. I'm going to depart this world. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. You know, it wouldn't be long before he was taken out of that place where he was, no doubt, in a prison cell. And he was executed. Historical records tell us that the Apostle Paul was executed. Thank God he left a legacy. Thank God he left for us an example. I don't think there's anything about the Apostle Paul that stands out in my mind any stronger than that Christ lives in me and I live in him. Christ is his life. Christ was his life. His all in all. He said, I really have a desire to go and to depart and be with him. But God said it's expedient that you stay around for a while because maybe I don't have another one like you. I know I'm going to have you stand before kings. I'm going to have you go out across the face of the earth and spread that message of the gospel. When he thinks about that, and so often I think we as individuals think about somebody that can take our place. And sometimes when we think about it, well, it won't take much to take my place. But I'll tell you, when I think about the Apostle Paul, that dedication, that sacrificial giving of himself. He knew the Lord loved him. He knew that a sacrifice had been made for him that no one else could make. To be entrusted with the responsibility of representing the Lord Jesus and sacrificially giving of himself. Do we ever think in terms of going as far as God would have us to go in giving of ourselves for others and for the cause of Christ? Seems like I hear so often about limitations that we've imposed upon how far we'll go in our witness, living for him. There are other things that crowd out the value of spreading the word of God, telling others about the Lord Jesus. You know, to hear some person respond when you say, what do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He died upon a cross for my sins. He loved me, and he died for me. I'm thinking about what I read recently about John Bunyan, who gave us the Pilgrim's Progress. It said that he spent a lot of time in prison like Paul. It wasn't because he had a title as a clergyman or anything like that. It's just because he wouldn't shut his mouth up and be quiet. They said, stop preaching and you won't be in jail. They're not going to shut him up. He kept preaching. He kept witnessing for the Lord. And as a result of that, he's in jail and maybe he would never have written the Pilgrim's Progress if he wasn't in jail. So he's right where God wants him. But he tells a story about Christian, and Christian is ushered into a room, and there he sees a picture on the wall. It's a picture of a man. I suppose it represented a preacher, and he had the Word of God, and he's proclaiming that message to the world. And it seems that Bunyan wanted to impress upon Christians and all that would ever read that Pilgrim's Progress, the most important thing we can do is proclaim the truth of God's Word. That's what God has saved us for, to be involved, to be a witness for him, empowered. He didn't leave us powerless. I don't know if we ever think about that in the seriousness of the ministry that the Spirit of God carries on in each one of us. Paul knew that unless his son in the faith, Timothy, allowed the Spirit of God to fill him and to use him, there wouldn't be any furtherance of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Things would kind of come to a halt. Sometimes it takes things that are unpleasant to get God's people motivated. I think about in the early church, they were in Jerusalem. They were staying in Jerusalem. They weren't moving out. Philip the evangelist said, we're going to have to get out of this place because this persecution is springing up all over the place in Jerusalem. You don't think that's by just chance that that took place, do you? I do believe that God in His sovereign power says, well, if they won't be motivated any other way, I'll make it hard for them. I'll bring some persecution. I'll bring some trial. And He says they left Jerusalem. They went everywhere telling others about the Lord Jesus. That's what Paul wants to see happen with Timothy. I charge thee. I give to you this message. I want you to remember that all that are living and all that are dead, they will one day stand in the presence of God. We believe in the rapture. We believe in the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. It could happen at any time. But I tell you, whether you go in the rapture or you go through the undertaker, we will stand in the presence of God. And then we will give an account unto God. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is when believers are brought into the presence of Christ. Rewards are issued for a life that has been fruitful. It says some will suffer loss because the life has just been lived for self. They've never been able to come to grips with how important it is that God has entrusted us with this message, and we've continued to live our lives just for ourselves. There's no reward. It says some will suffer loss. Many things that they might have thought were of some value and importance, it's weighed in the scales of God's holy wisdom and knowledge, and it's worthless. Called like it's just straw. It's just chaff. And it goes up in fire. You know, our God is a God of love, but He is a God of a consuming fire. He cannot stand sin in any form in His presence. That's the only reason that believers in Jesus Christ can ever stand in the presence of God. We have Christ as our Savior. And when God sees me, He doesn't see me. Poor, lost sinner. In my sins, He sees me in Christ. He sees me fully righteous and fit for His presence. I dare not enter the presence of God in any other way than in Christ. Judgment of God will fall upon all sin. So Timothy is given this charge. Preach the word. Preach the word. Instant in season and out of season. I don't know if you've ever examined yourself and found an excuse. It just wasn't the right time, the right place. I just didn't feel led. Well, I tell you, a lot of times it's because we never did go out expecting to be led. And we didn't want to be led. It would be an inconvenience for me to be led by God to be a witness. When what will it take to bring that to our minds as being the most important thing we'll ever do? Being a witness for Him. A witness for Him. We're sent forth as a herald. Monarchs had heralds that went and delivered messages to the people. They were important messages. Perhaps they stood at the gate of the city. Perhaps they went to all the places that people gathered. And they gave this message. Sometimes they rejected the message. Sometimes they rejected the person that brought the message. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? He came into the world, a demonstration of the grace and the mercy of God. Not only did they reject the message, they rejected the messenger. We will not have this man to rule over us. That can happen. And you may experience that, being rejected by the world that we live in today. It'll prove just how firm our convictions are that this is the most important thing that I'll ever be entrusted with, carrying this message to the world. What Brother Gibby's going to do tonight is such a small thing. It's so simple to carry the message of the gospel on a piece of paper and put it in somebody else's hands. As the Gideons do, take this Bible. You can trust God to use and honor His Word. Some foolishness that we may offer will be rejected. It'll be of no value. Not this. Not this. The psalmist calls it, it's just like honey to my mouth. It's wonderful. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's pretty sharp. But Paul, as he issues this message to his son in the faith, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, teaching, said that in the early church they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching that was left under their charge, left to them to present to the world. They were steadfast. They continued to fellowship together. They continued to remember the Lord, and they continued to pray together. All of these things, so important. I've already touched upon it, but it is certainly something important to think about today. I don't think there's any day or time that I've ever known. I'm not going to say it's the worst time in the history of mankind, but they will turn their ears away from the truth. It seems like every time I listen to something on the news, sooner or later somebody's going to come on there and indicate there's too much being done to try to get people to listen to what God has said. There are people, they don't like God, they hate God. They want us to eliminate Him completely. They don't want our school children to hear about God. Public places are no place to have God's name even mentioned. Those holy laws, those Ten Commandments, they may be found up on the walls of the Supreme Court building, but a lot of times you can't even put it and post it outside of a building. Don't want that. People are offended by that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a very offensive message because it not only brings blessing to those that receive it, but it condemns those that will not receive it. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy, I suppose, is not considered an evangelist. He didn't have the gift of an evangelist. You don't have the gift of an evangelist. I don't have the gift of an evangelist. But I can do the work of an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? He evangelizes. That's what he does. He inspires others. He goes out and he spreads the truth of the gospel. So Paul says, you do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. If you want to let people know that you are really interested in the things of God and the spread of the gospel, get busy telling somebody about it. Are you frightened by what someone might say? How you might be treated? Oh, God forbid. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us. Think about the shame, the suffering, all that took place, rejecting the messenger, our Lord Jesus Christ. He that knew no sin was made sin for us. What do we get from this? We receive Him and the righteousness of God is put to our account. How can I do anything but praise, worship, and be a good witness for Him in the world today? You come back this evening, and we're going to have some further information provided on how to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the time together this morning. We thank Thee for what our brothers brought before us in the distribution of the Word of God. This Word that's so powerful, this Word that carries a message, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God to a world that is under the judgment of God. O our God, as the message of the gospel has gone forth this morning around the world, boys and girls sitting in classrooms, TV and radio, there have been those that have been telling forth the message of the gospel. Bless it, we pray Thee, and use it for the salvation of souls, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.